Well, if anybody ever asks you what's going on at Eastern Gate, one of the things you might tell them is that we're all just trying to learn how to walk. And that's what we've been doing. And that is just learning how to walk with God. And that's what we do in the family of God. And that is just like your family and just like my family. And that is that everybody learns how to walk, even so it is in the family of God. We've been discovering some things that characterize those who are part of the family of God. And we've discovered not only have they, those who are in the family of God, obeyed the Father's will by repenting of their sins and turning to Christ, have experienced a new birth at the moment of their conversion, quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit on the inside with the life of God. And not only do we, now that we've been born again, have an appetite for our favorite food, that is, like newborn babes, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we not only enjoy these personal talks with our Father because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, crying, Abba, Father, Galatians 4 and verse number 6. As a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, those who are in the family of God, we love to talk to our Father. And not just saying prayers, but in the family of God, we have an experience of fellowship with the Father as we talk with Him, that is, as we pray. But we also experience those long walks. And that is just like in your family, everybody learned how to walk, and even so it is in the family of God. And that is when we were born again, that we were born with everything we need to be able to walk with God. But we need to learn how to do it. Learning how to walk with Him, ladies and gentlemen, is a lifelong process in the life of the Christian. Learning how to walk with Him, just like Peter learned how to walk with Jesus over and over again, Jesus is telling Peter, follow me. He had to keep learning over and over again how to walk with our Lord. And he did. And Peter was in for the long walk. Ladies and gentlemen, he walked all the way to martyrdom. Peter did. We know that in the Old Testament that the man Enoch in Genesis 5 walked with God, and he was in for the long walk. That is, he walked all the way into heaven. That is, he just one day was walking with God, and he was not. We know that Noah also walked with God according to Genesis chapter number 6, and his walk with God resulted in an ark, and he walked right into the ark, and ladies and gentlemen, then he walked right out, and you and I are the result. He was fruitful, he and his sons and their wives, and they replenished the earth. That is, there was those who walk with God. The long walk is walking with God for the rest of your life. And that is, it's not those who say they're walking with God and they walk with God for just a little while, it appears, and then they quit walking with God. Now, I'm talking about those who are absolutely committed to walking with God for the rest of their life. They're not going to turn back. They're not going to turn aside. If they stumble, they're going to get back up and start walking again. And that is for the rest of our life until the Lord comes, and then we'll walk on up into heaven with Him. Or if we die, then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll walk on over to the other side. But we're going to walk with Him for the rest of our life. That is the long walks. That is, walking with God is our destiny, our purpose in life. So we've been trying to discover what that means. That is, just looking at the Bible. If I'm going to walk with God, how do I do that? How do I walk with Him? Here's what we've discovered so far, and that is, if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk by faith. Walking by faith. The Bible says, that, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And we learned a little bit about that from Hebrews chapter number 11, what it means to walk by faith. We discovered that if we're going to walk with God, we've got to walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4, and that is, we've got to put the old away and walk in newness of life, in the new life that we have in Christ. We spent some time talking about that. We discovered a week ago that if you and I are going to be able to walk with God, we got to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 16, to walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen, you and I need to learn what that means. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We spent some time just looking at that in Galatians 5, what it means to be walking in the Spirit, staying in step with the person of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Some of you are here this past Lord's Day. I said to you that if you and I are going to walk with God, we've got to walk in good works. That is, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, we discovered that we're not saved by works at all. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to salvation, we are His workmanship. That is, he did the work at the cross. He did the work on the inside of us. And boy, did he do a good work whenever he saved us. We are his workmanship, brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. But the Bible says that when God did that work in us, he did a work in us that is unto good works. That God before ordained that we should walk in them, walk in good works. The reason why God did such a good work in you when he saved you, one of the reasons is so that you could start walking right. So that you could just start walking or living out that good work that God did in you. Walking in good works is living out in your life that good work that God did in you whenever he saved you. Now, in the book of Ephesians, I said to you this past Lord's Day, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul gives us a lot of information about walking with God. Ephesians 2:10 is, ladies and gentlemen, it is just the beginning of a full explanation beginning in chapter 4 and continuing in chapter 5 and verse number 6 about what it means to walk in good works, what it means to walk with God. Over and over again, we see he's using this kind of terminology to help us understand what it means to live out this new life that we have in Christ that is describing it as a walk. Some of you here Sunday night when we looked at chapter 4 and verse number 1 where the Bible says there that you and I need to walk, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to walk a worthy walk. That is a walk that is worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. We spend a little bit of time just looking at that passage, and that is that we need to walk or live out a lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, that is a reflection of the calling of God on our life. If you're going to walk with him, then listen to me now, you need to reflect that in your life. Those who are walking with God, walking a worthy walk. And that is a lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen, a walk that really reflects that is who we are now that we are in Christ. And we discover what that looks like. That is, if you're going to walk in a way that is worthy of this calling, this vocation wherewith you're called, you got to walk in all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering and forbearing one another in love and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we try to flesh out and take a look at what those phrases mean this past Lord's Day. I wish you all could have been here and to be able to just look at those verses with us and find out what it looks like when you get to walking with God. Walking in a worthy way. So I want you to think with me here in the book of Ephesians, not only about this worthy walk in Ephesians 4:1, walking in worthiness, but I want you to think with me about what it means to walk in love. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5 now. I said to you that this is sort of the walking book. And Ephesians 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children." Now listen to me. If you and I are truly the children of God, that is, if he's our Father and we are his children and we're in the family of God, then we ought to follow him. We ought to follow him. The idea of following God as dear children reminds me of when I grew up. Now, I've said a lot about my childhood, but let me just remind you of what some of you already know, and that is whenever I was growing up and that I wanted to be like my dad. And I thought my dad was the greatest, and I assumed that he was still. And maybe I didn't see his imperfections as much when I was growing up as when I became an adult. But nevertheless, I wanted to follow my dad. Everywhere my dad went, I wanted to go with him. If he's out in the garden, I want to be out in the garden. And if he dresses a certain way, I'm going to dress a certain way. If he goes fishing, I certainly want to go there. Wherever my dad went, that's where I wanted to go. I wanted to follow after him. Whatever my dad did, that was what I wanted to do. If you'd asked me as a young little boy what you want to do in life, I would have said the same thing my dad's doing. I want to be an elevator man is what I would have said. And ladies and gentlemen, that's sort of the way I grew up. I know that's not true of all everybody's experience here, and I understand that. But listen, that is the way God made family. When God designed the family, God designed it so that there is a husband and there is a wife. And he designed us so that in normal circumstances, and there are exceptions, that there are children born into that relationship, and children grow up, ladies and gentlemen, God's intention is for children to grow up respecting, obeying, and ladies and gentlemen, following after their parents. And that's God's purpose, and that is God's plan for family. And do you know that's God's plan in the family of God as well? And that is God's purpose for us, ladies and gentlemen, is to love our Father and to want to follow after him. The idea of following here is the same idea as what I try to describe to you that I had as a little boy, and that is I just want to be like him. I want to be like my dad. And listen to me, in the family of God, that's sort of the idea about following here, is that we want to be like him. We want to walk with him. We want to walk like he walks. We want to talk like he talks. We want to dress like he dresses. Now, I know that God doesn't dress, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm using that as an illustration, is that we want to be like him, like our Father. Now, if we're going to be like him, then Paul tells us here one of the things that's essential. If you're going to follow after him like a little child following their father, then here's what you got to do. You got to walk in love. Look at verse number 2, and walk in love. If you're going to follow him, you got to walk in love. Now, it's easy for us to understand why that is, and the reason why is because God is love. John tells us in 1 John that God is love. If you want to know what love is, ladies and gentlemen, don't look at the world, but look at God. And you'll see what love is and what love looks like, and you'll learn about how love acts and what love does. He is love. Now listen, you can't walk with God if you're not walking in love. That is, if you're not walking in love, you're not walking with the God of the Bible. It's impossible to walk with the one who is love and not be loving. That is, first of all, whenever God saved you, he, ladies and gentlemen, deposited his love on the inside of you. Now listen, when he sent his son to the cross, he demonstrated his love for you. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is, when God sent his son into the world, he demonstrated his love for you, so that you can know that God loves you. But listen, when God saved you, he deposited his love in you. And that is, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us in Romans 5:5. And so when God saved you, the love of God became a reality in you because of the life of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. The loving God in the person of God, the Holy Spirit, came to indwell you at the moment of your conversion. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just not a loving person, then you must not be saved. That is, if you're saved, you're a loving person, because a loving person lives in you. The person is the Holy Spirit. And so you've got the awesome love of God abiding on the inside of you. Now listen, if the love of God is not living on the inside of you, then you're in darkness. You don't belong to him. Read the book of 1 John. A man who says he loves God and doesn't love his brothers in darkness. He's not abiding in the light at all, ladies and gentlemen. He's deceived himself, the Bible is telling us over and over again. The love of God living on the inside of you transforms everything in your life. The experience of God's love is a transformational experience in our life that begins at our conversion and, ladies and gentlemen, continues for the rest of our life, and it breaks out or branches out into every area of our life as we grow in love. The Bible commands us to grow in love, to abound in love more and more, and I'm going to expound on that in another message, but what I want you to see is that you got to walk in love. And when I'm talking about walking in love, I'm talking about love as becomes the practice of your life. It becomes the demonstration of the life of God living on the inside of you. The love of God that was deposited in you is being now demonstrated by you. It's going to break out on you if it's in you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to start loving God, first of all, with all your heart. Well, we love him because he first loved us, and then you're going to start loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you don't love your brother, then you don't have his life, the life of God living on the inside of you. You're going to start loving lost souls. When I say start loving them, I'm going to say this, not loving their sin, but you're going to love them, love their soul. You love their soul and want them to turn to Christ. Instead of, ladies and gentlemen, instead of despising the sinner, you're going to love the sinner like God loves the sinner. You're going to love the Word of God. You're going to love the people of God. You're going to love the things of God. And the reason why is because of the one who lives on the inside of you. Walking in love means you just start loving the things that God loves. And it begins to be demonstrated in your life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us here in chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible tells us how to do that, how to walk in love. You say, I don't know really what that means or what that looks like. I'm trying to explain it to you, but Paul does a much better job than I can, because he says in verse number 2, and walk in love as Christ, just as, or with the example of Christ, also as Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Using Old Testament sacrificial language, we find that Paul reminds us that Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins at the cross. And it is the sacrifice that the Bible describes as a sweet-smelling savor, which is Old Testament language to say that God was fully satisfied in the sacrifice of the Son at the cross. And boy, he is. And the satisfaction of God, listen, with the sacrifice of the Son for our sins is an eternal satisfaction. God is eternally and forever satisfied. Our sin debt is fully paid. Everything taken care of. God's holiness is satisfied by the sacrifice of the Son, and it is forever satisfied. He is that sweet-smelling savor. Listen, the Bible reminds us here that Christ is the one who loved us and demonstrated that love by giving himself as that offering, as that sacrifice that satisfied the wrath of God against our sin. And we know this, don't we? Christ died for us as the sacrifice for our sins and the cross. Now, if you can just be reminded of that for just a moment and think about the sacrifice of Christ, then what we are looking at, ladies and gentlemen, is what love looks like. That's what it looks like. And that is, you and I live in a world that's very confused about the concept or the meaning of what love is. And if you allow yourself to be informed by the world around you, then you're always going to struggle in your relationships. And the reason why is because the world around you describes love or thinks of love as some emotion that we feel about somebody. And that is that I love that person because, and I know that I do because of what I feel about them. And, but ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, and well know, and probably from experience, and that is that emotions are about like a roller coaster. And as you might be feeling a lot of love at one moment, it may not be feeling so much at another moment. And so all of a sudden now, one time you're in love, another time you're not in love. And so as a result of that, we've got a lot of relationship struggles throughout our culture because of the fact we don't understand what love is. Love is not just about a feeling, and I'm not discounting the emotion that comes when you love somebody. There is emotion involved, but the emotion is not love. It may be the byproduct, but it is not love. And that is, Jesus demonstrated love for us when the Bible says here that he sacrificed himself, and he did it not for himself. It was a selfless sacrifice that, listen, appeased the wrath of God like a sweet-smelling savor, that appeased the wrath of God against us. The sacrifice of Christ added nothing to him. He did all of that for us. It was for me, and it was a selfless sacrifice for you that Jesus demonstrated, and that's what love looks like. And that is that those who love somebody, love is a verb that means action, and that is that they do something, and what they do is a selfless sacrificial act on behalf of those that they love. That's the idea here. And the Bible is saying here that if you're not going to walk with God, we've got to walk in that kind of love. I mean, how could you walk with the God who sent his Son into the world and let him go to the cross? How can you walk with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who willingly offered himself as a selfless sacrifice for us at the cross? How can you walk with somebody like that, ladies and gentlemen, how can you walk with somebody like that and not be willing to selflessly sacrifice ourselves for others? It seems as though that if you're going to be a follower, somebody walking with God, you got to walk in that kind of love. In other words, this isn't a reciprocal love. In other words, it's not the kind of love where I'll love you because I'll love you back because you love me. If you love me, I'll love you. Now, if you don't love me, I'm not going to love you. Now, listen, that's how the world operates, but that's not how our Lord loves. The Bible says it's while we were yet enemies that he loved us and gave himself for us. It was while you and I were steeped in our sin and cared nothing about God. It's before you and I ever was that he loved us. Did you know that he loved you with a love, ladies and gentlemen, that was already present before you ever was? God in his foreknowledge knew all about you. and loved you beforehand. He already did. You say, well, I don't see how God could love me with all the stuff that I've done. He loved you before you ever did anything. Before you ever was, He loved you. He loved you unconditionally and sacrificially. And He still does. And here it is, and here He's telling us, if you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in that kind of love. I mean, if God loved you like that, then if you're going to walk with Him, you got to love others like that as well. That is, you got to love unconditionally and you got to love sacrificially. That is, God loved us, ladies and gentlemen, out of His own being, not because we did anything to deserve, merit, or earn His love. He loved us because He is love. It was out of His own being that He loved us, and not because we deserved it at all or did anything to earn it at all, but it's just because of who He is that He loves us. And if you and I are going to walk with Him, we've got to learn to love people like that. Not loving them because they've earned it or done something good, but loving them out of our own being. And when I'm talking about our own being, I'm talking about the fact, as I mentioned a moment ago, that when God saved you, His love was deposited on the inside of you so that now out of that experience of His love, you can love other people unconditionally and sacrificially. Not because of what they've done, but because of who you are. Not because of anything they ever will do. You say, well, I'll love them if they'll straighten up. No, no, you don't understand. That is, you can love them because of, not because of who they are, but because of who you are and who lives on the inside of you. You're a part of the family of God. And those who are part of the family of God have the love of God living on the inside of them. And so we love out of that love that's been deposited on the inside of us sacrificially, ladies and gentlemen. We love as Jesus did. Now, by the way, this isn't the first time that we read about this or learn about this in the Bible. And that is that our Lord taught His own disciples that before He ever went to the cross. Listen to John 13 in the upper room. When our Lord was with His disciples in the upper room, ladies and gentlemen, He taught them this very truth. And you and I should notice it. That is, in John chapter number 13, the Bible tells us in verse number 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Now listen, the newness of this commandment is not this part, because God told He told us in the Old Testament that we are to love one another. And so the idea of loving one another is not new, but the next part really is new, and that is, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And there's our Lord saying, I want you to love each other, and He said, I've set the example for you. I want you to love like I do. Now think about that in light of Ephesians 5:2, where the Bible says that if we're going to walk with God, we've got to walk in love just as Christ loved us. And now we find He's already been saying that to His own disciples. Before the cross ever existed, He's saying, I want you to love each other in the same way that I love you. Now the disciples knew what He was talking about because they had been there in the upper room for a little while before that statement was made. And during that little while that they were in the upper room, they were dining and eating the Passover meal that night. And the Bible tells us that while they were gathered around that table, that our Lord, the Bible says, loved them. And He loved them to the end. And then He took a towel and put it around Himself. The Bible says He took a basin of water. He worked His way around the room, washing the feet of the disciples. And as He was washing their feet, He was doing the job of a servant. As a matter of fact, biblical historians tell us that that really was the job of the lowest slave. If there was a ranking of slaves or servants in the household, this would be something down towards the bottom. That is the job that nobody really wanted to do, and that's washing the feet of the guest in the home. It was a common job. It was a common task. And our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest in the room, as a matter of fact, not just the greatest in the room, but the greatest has ever walked this planet. Not just the greatest who's walked the planet, but the great one who created the planet is working His way around the room to do the lowliest job that night. That is to wash the feet of his disciples. As he's serving them by washing their feet, he said this to them. He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. So that when you read these words just a few sentences later, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that we know what he's talking about, don't we? Here's how I want you to love each other. I want you to love each other by not just how you feel about each other. I want you to love each other by serving each other. Put on your towel, get your basin of water, and wash one another's feet. Doing the lowliest job, serving one another. That's how you do it. Now listen, that's how he wants us to walk. To walk in love, it's not just a sacrificial love like we see at the cross, but it's a serving love that places the needs of others ahead of our own. When you and I serve somebody else at the expense of ourselves, that's what love looks like. That's it. Love is not an emotion. It's sacrifice and it's service. When you love somebody, you put them ahead of yourself and you serve them. That's what our Lord is teaching us. Well, the Bible says in the next verse, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. This is one of the signs that says you're really my follower, my disciple, if you have love one to another. It's a mark, ladies and gentlemen. It is a real mark in the family of God that is this mark of loving one another. If you're going to walk with God, you've got to walk in love. By the way, that's not the only time that our Lord said this in the upper room. He emphasized it again in John 15, where we read these words. In John 15, in verse number 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's saying the same thing now, second time. That is, here's my commandment. Here's what I want you to do. Love each other as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. That is, it's serving love in chapter 13. Now it's sacrificial love in chapter number 15. It's laying down your life for somebody else, which is what we've already discovered when Paul writes that he mentions to us that Christ laid down his life for us, and it looks like that if he laid down his life for us, that he would expect for us to lay down our lives for one another. That's the kind of love we're talking about. It goes way beyond the world's buddy kind of love. Say it again. It goes way beyond the world's buddy kind of love to a love that's willing to sacrifice and give up everything, including our own lives, for somebody else. It's a love that goes way beyond the world's romantic view of love to a love, ladies and gentlemen, that's willing to serve in the humblest of ways without any possibility of romance at all. Now that's love. And we find that our Lord is calling us to that kind of a walk, to walk in that kind of love. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse number 12, we see this emphasis there. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Paul writes, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and towards all men as we do towards you. His prayer for them, his desire for the believers in Thessalonica is that they will increase or grow and abound in love towards each other. The idea of abounding means no boundaries. In other words, it's talking about, ladies and gentlemen, there's no boundaries to our love. You say, well, Pastor, everybody's got to have these boundaries in their life and they've got to put boundaries. When you love somebody, ladies and gentlemen, there is no boundary to which you would not go for that person when you love them. A love that knows no boundaries. You say, Pastor, that just sounds radical to me. Go to the cross and look at it. There's what's demonstrated. A love that would go all the way to the awful agony of the cross is our example of the kind of love that we're being called to walk in. It's a love, ladies and gentlemen, that knows no boundaries. And when Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, he indicated to us that that's something, ladies and gentlemen, that we have to increase in, that we have an area of our life where we have to really grow in. You have everything you need to love that way. Let me say a few things about it. You have everything you need to love like that. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I can really do that. Listen, if you're saved, this love that I'm talking about lives in you. You have what you need already, if you're saved, to love like this because of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. But as we discovered about walking, if you're going to walk in this kind of love, you got to learn how to do it. Learning how to walk, increasing, growing in our expression and experience of love for other people. You got to learn how to walk. You say, Pastor, I'd love to learn how to walk like that. Well, I wish he was here. I'd just demonstrate it for you. I'd stand him right up here. He's my little grandson. He did it for me just a few minutes ago when I was in the other building. And that is, his mama brought him in. And when he saw me, he started holding his hands out because he wanted his poppy. And so she did it. She put him on the ground and on his feet. And I was standing a distance from him. And he was wanting me to come and get him, and I didn't do it because I knew what mama had in mind. I got down on my knee, and pretty soon here he came, and he started walking. Listen to me now. I know I've used that illustration several times, but it's a big event for us, so you'll have to humor me a little bit. Hey, do you know how little Matthew learned how to walk? Just one step at a time. First of all, he just learned how to stand up on his feet. He learned how to stand without holding on to anything. After a little while, he took a step or two. And maybe after a few days or maybe a couple weeks, he started taking three or four. And now he's moving along at several steps before he sits down. You say, Pastor, he learned how to walk. He's still learning. Still learning. Well, it won't be long that he'll be running. And when the little fellow who's been walking starts learning how to run, it's hard to tell what's going to happen around here. What I'm trying to describe to you, ladies and gentlemen, is when it comes to walking in love, the Bible tells us we got to increase or learn or grow. You say, how am I going to do that? Why don't you just take the first step? Take the first step. You say, what would that be? Why don't you just serve that person? Just find a way to serve him or serve her. You say, I need to grow in love. I need to grow in love in my relationship with this person. And I don't know what to do. Just take that first step. And listen, if you take the first step, you might be able to take a second step by just serving them in some way, finding a way to just serve them, to wash their feet in some way. Before long, you'll be walking. As a matter of fact, if you just keep loving people like that, by serving them and sacrificing for them, by putting them ahead of yourself, that's how you love, by putting them ahead of yourself and serving them and sacrificing for them, if you just keep doing that, before long, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be running. You're going to be loving a lot of people. You're going to be helping a lot of people, blessing a lot of people, serving a lot of people, sacrificing for a lot of people. Say, Pastor, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, go back to the cross and see our Lord at the cross. And I want to tell you, it's hard. It can be difficult. It's a lot of sacrifice. But that's what real love does. Listen to me now. Selfishness is the opposite of that. It's the opposite. This is what I want. This is what I want. Listen to me now. Why don't you put that to rest and start looking what other people need and want. And just start loving them. Start serving them. Start meeting their need. That's what love looks like, and we need to grow in that. Peter wrote about it as well in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. Let me read that to you. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 22, I love this verse. Seeing that you purified your souls by obeying the truth. Now, we know what the truth, that is the Word of God, the gospel, and that is when you turned and you obeyed the call to come to Christ, your soul was purified, made clean. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That is, when you turned to Christ, God did a work on the inside of you, and He purified you on the inside. And listen to me, as a result of that, there is this pure love on the inside of you, a love for the brethren. God poured out His love on the inside of you. Seeing all of that is true, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. In light of what God did on the inside of you when He saved you, He purified you. He poured out His love in you. Then why don't you just start loving with that pure heart? Out of that purified heart, start loving others and do it fervently. The idea of fervency, ladies and gentlemen, is the idea that you and I are passionate about the way that we love other people. Passionate about it. We find that Peter wrote about it. Peter knows a lot about it. He was there that day in the upper room when Jesus washed the feet. He was there. Boy, was he there. As a matter of fact, when Jesus got to Peter and Jesus was trying to love on him, I mean, he wanted to show him how much he loved him. He was getting ready to wash his feet and Peter protested. He said, "Lord, you shouldn't be washing my feet." He didn't want the Lord to do that for him, to serve him like that. You know, Peter's idea was, "I ought to be washing your feet, not you shouldn't be washing. You're master and Lord and washing my feet." And of course, the Lord, you know, he told him, he said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you're not going to have any part with me, no fellowship with me," is the idea. You can't really have fellowship with me if you don't let me wash your feet. And of course, Peter responded as Peter would, we would expect him to. He said, "Well, Lord, then don't just wash my feet. Wash me all over. I mean, get me a bath if that's the case. So I want to fellowship with you. I want to be near to you. I want to walk with you. I want to be near to you." And Jesus is telling him, "If you want to be near to me, then listen to me now. You got to let me serve you and love you, washing your feet." And then he turned around with Peter's right there. And he said, "You see what I've done? I've set an example for you. What I've done to you, I want you to do to one another." And now all of these years later, Peter writes. And he says, seeing that the Lord has purified your heart, seeing that He has given you a washing on the inside, seeing that He's done that to the point where there's this unfeigned love for the brethren on the inside of you, then see to it that you love one another with a pure heart, a purified heart, and do it fervently. I wish Peter could come and testify, don't you? If Peter showed up, I'd sure let him testify. I don't know what all he would say, but I have a feeling that one of the things he would say is this, that one of the things I learned about the Lord Jesus is that He really loved me. Boy, did He love me. And I learned to love Him. Even when I failed, messed up, I'm ashamed to say that I even deny that I knew Him. Not once, not twice, but three times. At the time that He needed me the most, I failed Him. If there was a moment that the Lord needed me, it was that moment, and I let Him down. I failed miserably. And yet it wasn't long after that I was out fishing in a boat, not catching anything, and He showed up on the shore. told us to cast out on the other side. We got this great drought of fish. It was the Lord. I was so excited, I swam to shore. I sat down and ate a meal with him, and he said, Peter, why don't you walk with me for just a few moments? And so I did. I started walking with the Lord. And as I was walking with him, he loved on me. And he asked me a question. He said, Peter, do you love me? Not once, not twice, but he asked it three times. And I told him and I affirmed to him that I really do love him. And you know what he told me to do? If you love me, he said, why don't you feed my sheep? Why don't you serve my family? If you love me, why don't you serve my family? If you're going to walk with him, you got to walk in love. The kind of the love that I'm talking about is a serving, sacrificial love. Let me ask you the question. Do you love him? If you say that you love him, John would tell us, but you don't love your brethren, then you're not being honest. You can't love him without serving the family of God. If you love him, you're going to love the people of God. With a serving, sacrificial love. I'm talking to you about walking with God. Learning how to walk with the one who is love. Walking with God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, your people, what you're saying to us. God, I pray that you do your work on the inside of us, that you would help us. Lord, even these moments as we try to learn more about you and more about walking with you, I pray the Spirit of God would operate upon our hearts, work powerfully in our lives, that you would teach us, that you would grow us. Father, I pray, God, that you would help us to become, Lord, a people that walk in love. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.